You're listening to the teaching podcast for Crossridge Women. The following is audio from our winter 2026 study of the Bible overview.
I'm going to do a few things here, and then we are going to get to work very quickly. It's unusual for the first night. Often on the first night, you listen to me talk for a long time. Not tonight. Tonight, you're going to do a lot of stuff with your table group. So you'll get to know each other in that way as you sort of work together digging into Scripture. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you sort of what you can expect from this study and from coming to this study every other Tuesday for five more times after this. I'm going to explain the book that you were given, which is our study guide that keeps us on track. And then after that, we're going to get into our table work. Okay. How this study works, this is how it works. We always go home. We study the Bible on our own. We used to call it homework. Now we call it independent study. Because then we actually come together and we do communal study. Then we actually open the Bible and we study together. We look at things, we mark things, we answer questions together. And then we have a little bit of teaching at the end. That's what happens every time. From now on, when you come, you'll always just start with your table time, and then I'll come up at the end, and we'll have prayer time. That's how it will look every time from now on, until I change it. No, I won't change it. And finally, I just want to say, this is a learning environment versus like a friendship or a community group, okay? And we say that because you have a study guide. It's going to ask you to answer some questions. It's going to ask you sometimes to mark some things, and you're going to feel like, this is a little bit academic. Can't we just sit around and talk about our feelings or something like that? And I want to say that that is not bad. That a part of everything that we do, obviously, is friendship and community. But we do want to say that we have seen that that comes about authentically and in a beautiful way when it comes out of our study of Scripture. That is what's unique about us, as opposed to a craft group or a book club that you could join, right? We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And as we press into knowing more about who God is and we become more like Him, He unites us not only to Himself, but to each other. So we care a lot about intergenerational relationships, and we care a lot about studying with a lot of different women. We have a lot to offer each other. And the church is this unique place in the whole world that says older women and younger women belong together, that we actually need each other. If we are younger women, we need older women. And if we are older women, we desperately need younger women. We all really need each other. And we thrive in the body of Christ when we are tapping into those other relationships. So we care a lot about that. Okay. We don't put friendship first, but they are the beautiful byproduct. Yeah. And if you're a little bit worried and you're saying, wait, this is academic, studying the Bible. And I would just say the Bible is a book. God chose to give us a book. And God could have chosen many other ways to tell us about Himself. I always say He could have painted this beautiful sunset in the sky. And when you went out and looked at the sunset, you'd be like, wow, now I know everything about God. Or He could have woven some sort of music into the universe. And once you listen to the music, you understand everything about God. He could have made it so that the minute you become a Christian, you just, boom, get this sort of instant download into your brain. And now you know everything. He didn't do that. He gave us a story. He gave us this story to read and to understand. And so we are going to endeavor to do that together, okay? And you can do it because you're all very smart women. You juggle so many things and make so many decisions and organize so many things and take care of so many people in your life. You're smart and strong. I know that. I've seen it. Last thing I want to say before we just have a quick look at the study guide is that if you have been studying for a long time and you're here and you're saying, man, I wish it wasn't Bible overview, like the story of Scripture. I know the story of the Bible. I mean, Sunday school, 101, right? I would just say to you, something that we believe at Crossridge Women is that the Bible is ancient Jewish meditation literature, which means these Jewish authors that wrote the Bible, they wrote in this way that is artistically layered with deep meaning. So when you read the Bible, One time you see something. But it is designed that the more you read it over a lifetime, the more you see, the more you understand, the more you can apply in new and different ways. That is the beauty of Scripture. And I do think it's really important to have this big overview of the one big story. And I will just say, I was 34 years old when I learned that the Bible was one story. I'd been a part of church and youth group and Sunday school and Pioneer Girls and Christian camp and Christian school my whole entire life. And I was blown away when I was 34 and I said, this is one story. This whole book tells one story. Every book works together to tell one story. So I feel very passionate about it. And I'm excited. And I would just say that for all of us, there is something more and new and fresh to learn. And I know that God will continue to reveal himself to us. Okay, so on those lines, I do want to say, if you've opened up your study guide to page 3, you're going to see that I am not asking you to read the whole Bible in this study. We're not going to do it. That's not what this study is. This study is sort of like a very high flyover. Imagine we're going to get in a plane and sort of fly over and look down and see from a very high level, go from sort of one end of the country to the other. Does that make sense? And get a sense of like the topography. And what we're really going to get a sense of is that one storyline that flows from beginning to end, because there is one. So we are going to sort of land the plane in two passages. One week there's three, but normally we're going to be centered in two passages. And all of our reading and what we study will just be from those two passages. So you're going to skip over large chunks of scripture. When you do, there'll be little summaries in your study guide. There'll be little paragraphs and it says the story so far. And that means, okay, we've just taken a leap and let's just have a little summary of where we've come to or how we got here, that sort of thing, okay? Those passages are actually in your study guide. So if you turn to page 9, you'll see that tonight we are going to do some work in Genesis 1. And that Genesis 1 is printed out for you in your study guide. And I do that because maybe you don't have access to a CSB Bible. And I think it's just good to read in a lot of different translations. There's not one that's like wrong. We like to specifically look at certain translations often because we know that words matter a lot to the biblical authors because they did not put their pen to paper and come up with this, right? This book that they could hand to someone that they could read. They actually wrote these books of scripture on one scroll, and then one rabbi would stand up at the front of a room and read it out loud. And you would just be listening, and you couldn't even follow along, right? Sometimes they were just reciting it. So words really mattered to those biblical authors in a way that if they wanted you to remember something, what are they going to do? Say it again and again. And again and again, you better believe it. They're going to repeat those words so they jump out at you and so that you remember. Yeah. So after you read, there is two pages of questions. The first page is usually like the first set of questions for the first passage. And then the second page is just four or five questions based on the second passage. Okay. If you're reading these questions and you're like, I don't know, don't panic. We always say you can put a big question mark and come back to it. But also more so is the case that people think, well, I thought it was a trick question because it was right there. It was actually in the text. And we just like to say, you know, sometimes we have this misunderstanding that we should read the Bible and then we should say something totally profound. Probably because we've been sitting in church week after week Sundays with some very gifted teachers and pastors. We could say that, right? And we think if we just read the Bible, then we should be able to say something really profound after we read it. But the first step is we always just want to see what it says. We want to look at those words that matter because the author wanted us to remember something. So if you're feeling like, well, it's a little bit obvious, you're probably on the right track. So after those two pages of questions, you see at the top of the page, it says apply to our story. Then there's like three or four sometimes questions that are a little bit more like getting you to apply. I'm not saying you have to be profound, but now you're starting to think, okay, I'm not just looking at what does it say in that text. Now I'm trying to think like, what does it mean nowadays when I think about that in my life today? How am I supposed to think about it? Whatever I'm learning about God, how does it change my feeling or my actions this week? And then you'll see at the bottom of page 24, there's always this little section of questions that says, go deeper into the story. Those are just cross-references. If you've ever read a cross-reference in your Bible, those are other places in Scripture that talk about the same themes you were just reading about in the first text. After that, there's always this page that says, pray Scripture. We're going to do that tonight so you understand what that is about. And then if you turn the page to 26, you see it says study together. That's the page that you will do with your table group next time when you come back. So after tonight, you're going to go home with your study guide. And for the next 2 weeks, you have 2 weeks to work on pages 18 to 25. Does that make sense? Okay, that's how the study works. We are going to start right now with study together tonight. Okay, this is what we're going to do right now. At your table, your leader is going to lead you through page 14. And just to expedite the process a little bit, we're going to do question one together, which says, read through Genesis 1:1 to 2:3 and underline any repeated words or phrases that you see. I'm going to read a good part of Genesis for you right now so that you can focus on underlining or marking all the repetitions, because fair warning, there's a lot. And also, it's really good for us when we come together to read God's word out loud together. Okay, so we said that we start by doing independent study, our homework, then we come together, we study together, and then we move into some teaching time at the end. Often during our teaching time, we sort of explain the passage a little bit more, maybe draw out some important details, and then press into application. This year, we're going to be doing something different. We will still be pressing into application. We're going to think about the nature of God, who God is, his works and his ways, and how he reveals himself to us in that part of the biblical storyline. And when we look at that, what is true about God, then that will also help us to think about, in light of what is true about God, what then do we say about humanity? What do we learn about ourselves? So that is the point of application that we'll be trying to draw out in the teaching every week. But the other thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about convictions and tools. Convictions are things that we know about the Bible, certain things that we believe are true that drive our study. And then tools of study. How do we dig into the Bible because we have these certain convictions? So tonight, we're going to talk about our very first conviction, and that is, why should we study the Bible? Why study the Bible? And we're going to go to Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14 for that. And that's page 8 in your study guide. Now, you guys just did Genesis 1 to 3 at your tables. It was a story. It was a narrative. It was familiar. We are going to jump all the way from Genesis to Ephesians. This is written many years later by a guy named Paul, who was a very sophisticated Greek scholar, a Pharisee. He used very complex Greek and logic in his writing. He's much more difficult to understand and read than when you're reading Genesis, but that's okay. We're going to read just a few verses of Ephesians 1 3 to 14. Now, part of what makes this confusing is that Paul uses a whole bunch of pronouns for God. And sometimes he's talking about God the Father. Sometimes he's talking about God the Son. Sometimes he's talking about God the Holy Spirit. All three parts of the Trinity, all three persons of the Trinity, we should say, are at work in what Paul is talking about in this part of Ephesians. And so I've gone ahead and marked that for you in the text. And where Paul is talking about God the Father, I marked it with a triangle. And where he's talking about God the Son or Jesus, and he uses a pronoun instead of his name, I have labeled it with a cross or marked it with a cross. And where he's talking about the Holy Spirit, I've marked it with a cloud. So you can see our triune God, our God in three persons. And I've labeled this section the plan. So you can turn to page 8 with me in your study guide, and I'm going to read it to us. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ, as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him, we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will. I'm going to stop right there, but what is the plan? What did Paul say is the plan? The plan is to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth. Heaven and earth brought together in Christ. That is God's plan. And when does Paul say that God made this plan? Before the foundation of the world. You guys just spent time reading Genesis 3. And sometimes I think it's easy to think, man, if Eve just wouldn't have done that, you know, she messed everything up. And then God had to make a new plan for the world to be able to dwell with people. But actually, Ephesians says that God had always planned for Jesus to come. Jesus was always at the center of God's plan. So the storyline of Scripture, we could say, some people say, can be told in three words, and that is creation, fall, and new creation. You can see that at the bottom of page 8 in that little diagram. You just read creation and fall. That happens where? Yeah, Genesis 1 to 3. Where do we read about new creation in the Bible? Okay, yeah, Revelation. Specifically, what part of Revelation? Yes, Leota said chapter 21 and 22, basically just the two or three final chapters of the Bible. So creation and fall, the first three chapters of the Bible. New creation, the last two chapters of the Bible. Most of the story of the Bible actually happens between fall and new creation. And to be honest, sometimes we call that part of the story redemption. Redemption, because that part is the plan. That part shows us how God is going to work to bring heaven and earth together in Jesus Christ. We're going to skip to the end of the story right now. I know that seems sort of crazy, but that's how we're going to do this. Okay, 6-week Bible overview. So I'm going to send you back out to your table groups right now, and you're going to do page 15 together, okay? So you're dismissed to read and work through those questions at your table.
Okay.
In sort of the bookends of the story, the beginning and the end, we said we start at creation, it goes to fall, and we end at restoration or new creation. And God's plan plays out in these middle parts. And God's plan, we said, was to bring heaven and earth together in who? Jesus. So at some point along this plan for redemption, the most decisive moment in that plan, the whole piece of redemption centers around the cross. Okay? And if you look at where we are in God's plan right now, where would you put us? Somewhere between the cross and new creation. That's right, you are here. I just say that because sometimes we think that God's plan was there was creation, and yes, there was this fall, and then Jesus. And then we think that right there, if we believe in this story and we believe in Jesus and the redemption he brings, that then we are at new creation. And in some sense, yes, 1 Corinthians says, the old is past, behold, new things have come, right? Ezekiel, God's going to give us a new heart in the work of Christ. We're going to look at that very closely in this study. But as far as new creation, as far as there being for you and for me, no more pain, no more struggle, no more grief, no more crying. No, not yet. Right? Not yet. We live in that little space we often call the now and the not yet. We have the blessing of Jesus. We have new life because of him. He's come into this world and he's redeemed us, but we as of yet do not have no more tears, no more grief, no more sadness, no more death. We are a part of this story. That's what we always say to the kids here at Crossridge Kids. We say that God's big story is actually a story we're invited into. You're actually designed to live in God's story. And so over the next 10 weeks, technically, but 5 more gatherings, we are going to study and work through some key passages in Scripture to see how this plan moves us from the fall to new creation. Okay? How does God do this? How's God going to get from what man has messed up to this beautiful city, this garden city that we see at the end that looks a little bit like what the garden looked like in the beginning and yet is further and deeper and brighter and even more abundant than the Garden of Eden was that he first created? So knowing this whole storyline, first of all, is going to help us understand individual parts of the Bible along the way better. Okay, once you know the whole storyline, you're going to go back and say, oh, now I understand where Malachi fits in. Now I understand how the rest of the pieces and the books work together to tell one unified story. It also helps us to know God himself more. We've already said a bit about that. And it helps us to know ourselves more because we know our place in the plan and remember that we are not yet at new creation. And then finally, knowing this whole story helps us identify the counter story that the culture tries to tell us. Because the culture is giving us a different version of the story, a different plan that we should maybe live according to, a different way to get to flourishing than what the author of life has said. Contrary to the culture's counter story, this world is not a random accident, nor are you. You're not. This world is not out of control, even though sometimes it seems like everything is, and especially circumstances in your life. They feel completely out of control. At some point, we studied Colossians and we learned that all things were created by him, for him, and through him, right? He's at the center of all those prepositions. And he is at the center. We saw God is bringing all things, heaven and earth, together in Christ. He is the center of this whole plan. Even though sometimes I look around, you know, you can look at the at people, you can look at what's happening across oceans, you can look at what's happening on your TV, and you can think, this world is headed where? To hell in a handbasket, right? I think that often. Is that true? No. It is not true. The world is headed to new creation. God is holding his plan together in Jesus Christ. We can be assured of that. And knowing this plan and seeing it in Scripture, how he is going to so faithfully keep his promise to his people to bring us from creation to new creation, I think that by the end, you will feel even more steadfast, and we should, in our trust of him being sovereign and in control of all things, okay? That is what we've seen tonight. God is the eternal sovereign creator. It is his good world, and he is in control, and he does have a plan. And you, human, woman, female, are his beloved creation, made by him and for him, for his plan, and under his authority. By design. His story, this story in this book, is your identity with him in new creation, is where you belong ultimately. And his plan and the culmination of this plan is your purpose. Something that I'm trying to get us to do a little bit more in how to apply the words of scripture that we study is to pray the passage. So if you turn over to page 16 from where you just were, there's always a page that says pray scripture. And the more and more we read the Bible and we study scripture, and we understand that this is how God has spoken to his people, is through his word, through scripture. The more and more I think one of the ways that we can apply it and respond to what's in it is to speak it back to him. And I think it forms us in the way that God desires us to be formed. So I just wanted to take just a couple minutes, and this is how we're going to end. We are going to pray the passage together, and we'll just do it as a large group. And there's a little preamble. You can read that at home tonight, that describes why we think it's really important to press into this praying the passage. So I want you to think about everything you learned about God tonight. You even wrote a bunch of things down in your book. You underlined some things, you highlighted, you talked about some things. And you can just say it out. It can be one word, a phrase, whatever. But what part of scripture that you read tonight prompts you to praise? How are you prompted to confess? How are you prompted to thank God for what he has and will do for you? What should we ask God for after seeing the beginning and ending of the story? I'm just going to close us in prayer. God, we do praise you as the sovereign, eternal, and good creator of all that is good, of all that is beautiful and pleasing to the eye, of all that is good for food. God, you are the author of abundance, the perfect and holy creator of all. And we confess that we are the creature. We are not the creator. We are not the sovereign. We are not in control. And we confess that so often we act like we are. We reach out and take what we think is best for us, instead of submitting to your beautiful will and your plan that is good for us. We thank you that before the foundation of the world, you chose us in Christ. We thank you that you provided for us that covering for sin. We thank you for Jesus. And in him, we just declare that this whole plan holds together. It will not fail. God, we ask you now to help us to trust you as we see and look more closely at this storyline of scripture. Help us to know you in new ways. Help us to know you more. And would you reveal to us also ourselves, those parts that we try not to look at, those parts that we try to keep hidden, those parts that you want to remake into more of your image, the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We just open ourselves to you and ask you to reform us, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, all according to this beautiful, good plan of yours. God, we know that someday, one day in your presence, we will look back and we will see how it all held together. And we look forward to that day with great anticipation, where the dwelling place of humanity will be with God and death will be no more. Praise you. You are so good. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, friend, thanks for listening. For more information and to access our resources, visit crossridge.church/WStudy. And as always, thanks for studying along.